Heavenly Father, thank you this morning once again for the privilege we have now to turn in your word, to be able, Father, to glean from it your truths. And as we explore this question today, what really matters? I pray, God, that you would impress on our heart those values, those truths that probably many of us are already kind of struggling with. And so, Father, we pray this morning that as we venture into the story of this blind man, that you'd help us to see what you have for us. There is no accident that you've brought each of us here this morning, whether we're present here physically or watching this on our live stream or listening to this sometime during the week. God, there is something in your word today that you want to teach and show us. Now, Father, I pray for that lost person who may be here, or as we've said, be watching this or listening to this at some point. We pray this morning that what they would see in this passage is really the message of who Jesus is and what he is willing to do for each and every one of us, what he's already done on the cross, to be able to bring forgiveness, to help us to redefine what really matters in our lives. So I pray for that lost person this morning that through the course of the study of this passage, that they would become keenly aware of their lostness and be willing and ready to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, for the rest of us as believers, I pray, just open our hearts. Help us to be able to see what you see in our lives. And maybe our priorities are out of whack. What matters to you doesn't matter to us as much as it should. And what really matters to us right now doesn't seem to really be that important in the bigger scheme of things. Father, maybe we need to recalibrate this morning as believers and rethink our priorities as we begin a new season in our year with the fall and winter coming. Now, God, we pray as always, bless the reading of your word. Guide us as we study together. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, look with me in John chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 24 through 31. This is an unusual story, to be honest with you. This is where Jesus has healed a blind man. And now we find sort of in a mid-conversation an attack by the Pharisees. Now, who were the Pharisees? They were the religious elite of the day. Think of them as the church police in the first century when it came to Judaism. And so they are trying to figure out who Jesus is and try to figure out how they can get rid of Jesus because he's a threat to them. And so they are watching and observing and trying to figure out every possible thing they could attack Jesus on. And the one they discover today is he has healed a blind man. And so they've already gone to this blind man to get him to confess to them that Jesus is some type of demon, some type of tool of Satan, but certainly not what he claimed to be. And so they've already talked with him. In fact, we'll find even they've talked to his parents. And never could they really get him to testify to something negative about Jesus. Now, where we pick up this morning is in verse 24. And this is the continuation. It's now a second time that they grab this man and begin to question him about who he thinks Jesus is. It's a great discussion because what we're looking at is his confession of what really matters most at that moment. As we read this together, look at this, verse 24. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." Now they're talking about Jesus. And they're wanting him as the healed blind man to say that Jesus had done some type of ritual, had done some type of weird thing to give him his sight back. And look at verse 25. This is kind of our focal verse this morning. And look what he says. He then answered. Now you think about what matters to this man right now. He's being surrounded for the second time by the religious police who had the authority to really mess up his life. But without fear, he makes this statement. Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. That's really what matters. It's not what they were saying that mattered. It wasn't what mattered to this man the day before or what will matter last year to him. It's what matters to him right now. I love that testimony because it now becomes a guide for us in the world of craziness that we find ourselves in right now. And all of the stuff that they tell us that should matter, but when we look at Scripture and look at the values that we hold in this life, we see confusion over what matters. This man reminds us of what really matters. And that's God. That's Jesus. Now we're going to look at that a little bit more as we go along, but let's go down to verse 31. I'll keep reading just to kind of give you a continuation of the conversation. Then we'll leave it in verse 31, and we're going to come back and answer three things that really matter to this man this morning that I hope will help us in guiding our own journey through deciding what really matters. Verse 26, he goes on. So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" Now this man has to know that they were not thinking of coming his disciple, that he is almost toiling with them, it seems a little bit. Verse 28, they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses." See, what really mattered to the Pharisees were the rules. It was the rules of what they had determined was important. It wasn't any longer what God thought was important. It's what they thought was important. And they had abandoned all along what God had decided what was important for them. And so now it's interesting that they are declaring themselves to be disciples of Moses, in other words, followers of Moses, who we all know is a great character in the Old Testament, not taking anything away from him, but we are all followers of who? God. And in the case of the New Testament believers, they were looking at Jesus as God in physical form on earth. Look at verse 29. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, again Jesus, we don't know where he comes from. The man answered and said to them, "Well, here is an amazing thing." Now this is great because not only has he defined what really matters, but now he's speaking wisdom to them based on what he's decided is important today. He goes on and he says this, "Well, here is an amazing thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes." In other words, how do you explain that? How do you explain that you're accusing him of all of these things, but he has healed me? Look at verse 31. This will be our last verse. "We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him." See what he's saying? Listen, in all of the confusion of what they were presenting to this man, he never wavered on what was important and what really mattered. Now, as we think about what matters in our world today, it is a completely skewed thing. There are a lot of things the world will tell us that matters, but when we really begin to look at what God's defining as success in life and purpose in life and meaning in life, we begin to see a different set of values, a different set of criteria that really matter. And that's what I want us to kind of think about this morning. Just three things. There probably could be more on this list, but we're just going to examine verse 25 and this particular former blind man and what he seems to be teaching us this morning about what really matters. Number one is this. And I think you see this in the way that he responds around verse 25 and then certainly within verse 25. And that is this: how God sees you really matters. How he sees you. How does God see you this morning? Does he see you as his child, as a believer, someone who has surrendered, asked forgiveness of their sin, someone who has chosen to follow the path that God has set before them? Or does he see you as a sinner, someone who has abandoned that gospel, someone who has not answered the plea to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior? Listen, there are a lot of things the world will tell you that matter, but nothing matters more than your relationship with God. And here's a man who, for all intents and purposes, probably had never gone to a seminary class. He never studied the scriptures like the Pharisees who he was speaking to, but yet he knew more about what mattered than all of these men put together. And that's shocking to the world. And when we begin to strip away all of the things that the world tells us, and sometimes life try to tell us that really matters, we get back to what I think is the basics. How God sees us, and I'll even add something else here, how we see God. See, our Heavenly Father, do we belong to Him? Are we following His teachings? Are we waking up in the morning and deciding, Lord, show me today what really matters? And all of the hustle and bustle, all of the stress and the decisions, and all of what seems to be some of the bad things that happen in life, help me to remain focused on what matters. See, I think many believers today have lost that. We've decided that what matters is what somebody else tells us that matters, but not what God has told us that matters. And our relationship with Him has to be the core, the center of what matters in our life. It's the driving force every single day. It should be. It should be what motivates us to define what success is and what success is not. But how God sees you and how, as we've said, how you see Him is essential. And this man reminds us of that when he makes that statement, when whether he's a sinner, I don't know, but the one thing I do know is now I see. I mean, you think about all of the things that God has done for us. He's given us a great church to worship in. He's given us a great community to love and reach. He's given us family and friends that we can have value in our life from. He's given us a great country to live in, amen? Even though it has problems, it's still the greatest country on the face of this earth. There's much to celebrate, but let's not get lost in all of that. We need to remember what really matters. And Jesus says it very clearly. I quote this verse a lot, I know, but in John 14:6, Jesus tells us what really matters. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what really matters. Second thing that we learn here about what really matters, not just an addition, but kind of a continuation, that God sees us, that's important, that matters. But number two is this, the kind of life you live. See, I think this man had been classified by society as unimportant. He was blind. He was handicapped to some degree. And so he was of no value to society, but God saw value in him. Even before he was healed and given sight, God already saw value in him. And that's why I think the whole encounter occurs with Jesus. When we begin to ask what really matters, we also have to ask, what kind of life do we live? Now, for believers, that life that we live is clearly defined by the purpose and meaning that God gives us, the talents, the gifts, all of the opportunities that He gives us, all of the things that He's planted us in this earth to accomplish for His glory, those things matter. And those begin to define the way that we live that then now begin to define the way we make decisions. See, I think this man not just was healed with sight, but his heart was healed. He was changed because he encountered Jesus face to face, and not just was he given sight, but his life was changed forever. How do I know that? The wisdom that he begins to speak, that shows me that God has put his hands on him and now helping him to tell other people what really matters. He was beginning to find purpose and meaning in his life. Listen, again, the world loves to classify us, to tell us who's important, who's not important, to tell us who has value and who doesn't have value. But listen, when we begin to look at God's standard, He has created every single one of us with value in His image, by the way. And there are no mistakes in the way that He's created us and the places that He's put us. The question is, how will we let God use those opportunities? And as we face the uncertainty of decisions, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know what will happen next week or next month or even next year. But none of those things really are important right now. What's important right now is that we're tracking and following what God has for us. That He is guiding our steps. That we are following the map that He has given us. And that we're finding the kind of life that He wants for us. I think this goes even deeper. I mean, the kind of life we live, the value that we bring to other people. If you understand who Christ is in your life and you see God in the right way and He sees you as His child, then you are forever changed. And so because of that, the value that you now begin to find in your life begins to seep over into the other people around you. You begin to rub off on them. Because of why? Because God's using you as a tool and an instrument. I don't really know precisely how the day will be when we appear before God, but I do believe that. I do think in Scripture it teaches that all of us who've been created by Him, which includes all of you and me and everyone else who's ever lived or ever will live, will one day stand before God. And I'm going to tell you right now, what matters right now in this world will not matter at that moment. Certainly not to the degree that the world tells us. And so when we appear before God, I don't know exactly how it will go, but kind of being that Gen X type person, I almost see it and choose to see it this way, whether it's right or wrong. It's almost like there's a jumbotron standing behind the throne. You know what that is? That's a big screen like that they have in football stadiums. And God's going to begin asking us questions. Why should I let you in heaven? And of course, the right answer there is because I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. He has forgiven me of my sin. And then God's going to say, well, have you lived a life that honors me? And then whatever we answer, it's almost like scenes and episodes of our life are going to play. Now the question is, do we have regrets? Probably we all will to some degree. But the purpose of life is not what the world defines for us or even what the world says is success. Listen, we've learned this. You can make all the money, have all the tools, all of the toys, all of the big things, make all of the famous things that they tell us are important, but in reality, none of those things matter at that moment that you stand before God. What matters is what He has told us all along that matters, is do we know Jesus? Are we living a life that is marked by His presence? Are we making a difference in the life of those around us in a way that's positive, not negative? That we're leaving something behind that, as we'll talk about in a moment, is a legacy that points people toward Him. Listen, I think we understand something. Life has value. And so because of life having value, we have opportunities every single day, a whole list of them, to make a difference in the people around us and the people that God puts in our path. And it's not always gauged or marked by the way the world sees it. It's making a difference. As parents, we have opportunities every single day to make a difference in our kids, the friends of our kids. As teachers, we're about to start school. We've got teachers here all over the place. We've chosen a career about making a difference in kids' lives. It's a calling. It's one of the greatest callings, I think, because not only are you teaching them about math or science or history or whatever the topic is, you're now beginning to teach them what a godly woman and a godly man look like. And being able to make a difference in their life by loving them with that love that God gives you. That's finding out what matters, living a life that matters. Making a difference in the lives of those around you. Giving rather than taking from folks all of the time. Listen, God's very clear on that. In fact, you can look through just about any place in Scripture and you can find where God talks about the kind of life we should live. The Bible is full of those types of statements and lessons for us. There's no question about that. And so that's why we study God's Word, because as we adapt and grow and find ourselves in new places, we can always go back to God's Word to figure out what kind of life should we be living at that moment. It's important. It matters. So not only does the way God sees us matter and the kind of life that we live matter, but also and finally, I want us to think about a third thing. And this again is you got to sort of take yourself out of this passage and look at where we are today. Here's this man who probably had no way of understanding that morning when he woke up and experienced the supernatural healing by Jesus, that it was going to be preserved and the words that he spoke were going to be preserved for some 2,000 years to where in August of 2022, a group of strange people are going to be reading those words and learning about God through those words. He had no idea. But yet, he was leaving a legacy that would last long after him. And that's the third thing that matters, is that the legacy you leave behind. Now listen, we talk about this a lot in this church because I've been now here 7 years and this church has an unusual long list of legacy builders in this church, way beyond the average. And I find even in this community, this is a great community that loves each other and supports one another. And I've looked in other places in the country, and I'm telling you, this is a different kind of community. There are a lot of legacy builders in this community, people who have gone on but have left a legacy. You might think of it this way, big shoes for us to fill. They've made a difference. They've lived a life that mattered, and now that they're no longer here, that legacy continues to influence those around them. And that's, again, as we think about what people will think of us, what people say about us, listen, none of those things really matter. What really matters is the example, the legacy, the life that we've lived, the story that we leave behind. The things that people learn from us, not only while we're physically here, but as we go on, and now we're in the presence of God for eternity, after this life, in other words, what are the lessons that are continuing to be taught? Now, as a father of two daughters, I would hope, I don't have grandkids yet, but I would hope that the legacy that I leave are some of the values that I think are important. The things that I've committed my life to making sure that not only are important in my life, but are important around those people around me, those things that I teach and talk about all the time. And those are the things that are important to me, and I would hope would be those things that the people that were closest to me will remember. It's a legacy that we leave. It's a story that is left long beyond the time that we were here. And probably in every one of our lives, there's people like that. Could be a parent. It could be a grandparent. Could be a close family friend or someone that was a friend to you that's no longer here, but their story still resonates in your life, and God uses that to help you to see what really matters and what's important. See, I don't think God is through with us as believers the moment that we die and go to be with Him. I really don't. I think the legacies that we leave behind are used by God. I know there are legends in my life who continually God uses to sort of remind me of things that are possible. Things that when I get frustrated, so I don't know how I'm going to do that, then God brings up somebody that has been a great influencer in my life that was able to accomplish far more than I've accomplished, and it begins to be used by God to inspire me. It's a legacy. It's what mattered to them. God uses, because it was in alignment with Him, He uses it to continue to make a difference in my life. Here's my question for you. We hope this doesn't happen, but if you were not to be here this afternoon, let's say something happens and you die today, what are the people closest to you going to say were most important in your life? And now, here's the thing. You are here. So you can now start defining what those things are. Whatever life you have left, and most hopefully it's a long life, but you now begin to decide tomorrow to wake up and begin to define those things, what's important to you. Man, as a pastor, I've done a lot of funerals, and you can always notice when the family knows that legacy because they tell those stories. And you can see it. It's a difference that makes in their life, and it's something that they talk about, and it resonates with them. It's sad when someone has lived a life, and really the people closest to them, when you begin to ask them, and I ask this of families all the time, what was most important, you think, in their life? Some families are quick to say, man, they love church. They love this. They love that, whatever. Other families are like, well, you know, I don't really know. And that's just sad to me. I don't want that to be me one day, where someone is asking my family that question and they don't know those answers. And really, it's more, listen to me, it's more than just what you say is important. It's the way you live your life begins to tell people what's important. It's the life, the example, the change that is evident in your life. People know if those things are really important. I mean, we can say all kinds of things are important to us, but our life and the decisions we make and the things that we do now begin to really point what is important. And I think that's, again, these kinds of passages, in my opinion, are gifts from God because they're meant to awaken us so that we can then begin to adapt the change that we see here, making sure that we understand how God sees us and that we see Him the right way, that we are living the kind of life that honors Him, and that we now are awakened to realize we need to define the legacy and what's important, that we live our lives in a way to back that up. Again, as we've said, there are a lot of things that we may think matter in life, but the reality is what really matters are these kinds of things that God has given us. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I'm thankful again for just the opportunity that we have. Just these few minutes to be able to dive into your word, to spell out certain truths that were written so long ago around a man that was healed with sight one morning. And how that story now becomes important to us. It's an example of a legacy that's being left for us. Now, Father, I don't know where every person in this room is this morning. I don't know that they know who you are. I don't know that they even comprehend what your love is and the vastness of your love. We said in the beginning as we prayed that if there is someone here who's never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, that through our discussion this morning, it's nothing I've said, but just through the work of your Spirit in their life, that they've been awakened to their need to accept Christ and begin that journey of figuring out what really matters to you. If there's someone in that place, then I'm going to lead them in a prayer. Again, this is not a magical prayer. It's not a ritualistic prayer. It is just words that we speak from our heart. Now, I'm going to guide you in this prayer, but you can pray whatever words you want. This is just meant to give you some guidance in that. But let's be clear, this is what we believe is the prayer of salvation. It's the prayer that we pray to ask God to send Jesus into our lives. And it goes something like this. Father, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that right now I have no idea what's important or what matters in my life. But this morning I come knowing that what's important to me right now is to understand that Jesus has died on the cross for me and provided forgiveness. And so I claim that today by asking God to forgive me of my sin and to ask Jesus into my heart to become my Lord and my Savior. Now, if you're here and you've prayed that prayer, then I want to encourage you in our time here in just a moment of response. We're going to all stand and give an opportunity for people who've made some kind of decision to come forward and share that. It's not scary. Just come talk with me and I'll guide you through that. But we want to put you with somebody who can explain more in detail what that means. Now, if you're at home watching this live or listening to this sometime this week, what I want to encourage you to do is reach out to somebody that you know is a believer and tell them that today I've accepted Christ. What does that mean? What's the next step? And I am certain as a believer they will guide you. But above all else, it's important for you to find a group of believers to surround yourself with. Now, for the rest of us as believers, our salvation is not in question. What is in question this morning is, are the things that we say that really matter in our life in alignment with what God says matters? And if it's not, then we have some work to do. To begin to work through those things and find what really does matter and putting our life back on the right course. What may be a small thing right now in a year could be a huge thing if it's not dealt with. And maybe this morning, God has brought it to our attention because He wants it dealt with right now, so it doesn't become that huge thing. So for a believer this morning, it may be a time for you just to come to the altar. Spend some time in prayer, getting on your knees before the Lord symbolically at His altar. Or maybe you have a decision that you want to make. You want to come join this church, or you want to rededicate your life, whatever that may be. The most important time of our service are these next few minutes, our time of responding to God and His calling in our lives. Father, we're again thankful this morning and pray whether there are any public decisions or just private decisions, you see them and you know them, and we're thankful for them. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?